From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, July 24th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Attorneys for the victims of the Lewiston shootings are asking for an independent investigation by the Inspector General for the Department of Defense. As Susan Sharon reports, the attorneys say investigations by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Army Inspector General are too narrow and raise conflicting conclusions.
In their letter to Maine's congressional delegation, a coalition of law firms says a broader independent investigation is needed to identify important background information that led to the tragedy and to systemic failures that caused multiple warning signs exhibited by gunman Robert Card to be overlooked. They also want to identify individuals who should be held accountable. Card was an Army reservist who was sent to a private psychiatric hospital in New York while on a drill last summer. But attorney Travis Brennan says the Army Inspector General's review says Card was a civilian, not on active duty.
So they raise questions about whether or not the Army had jurisdiction over him at that time. But the Army, the U.S. Army Reserve's report raises important questions about why his orders were not extended from July and into August, given the concerning warning signs that he had presented with.
The Army Inspector General's review concludes Card's hospitalization was voluntary and that he was not committed, the letter says. But the Army investigation says Card was committed to a civilian hospital for 19 days. Among other things, attorneys also want to know why Card's orders were only extended for 4 days during his hospitalization. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry announced Wednesday that his office has filed a civil rights complaint against a Bath couple accused of targeting their neighbors with racist and xenophobic harassment. Ari Snyder has more.
The complaint, filed in Sagadahoc County Superior Court, alleges that Andrew and Renata Pinkham of Bath persistently harassed a Black family from the Democratic Republic of the Congo that moved in next door in April. The complaint alleges that the Pinkhams repeatedly directed racial slurs at the family and banged on the shared walls that connected the two apartments, causing, quote, severe emotional distress to the point where the family's children were afraid to play outside. Fry alleges the family was, quote, relentlessly targeted in their home based on who they are and where they come from. Fry is asking the court to prohibit the Pinkhams from having any contact with their neighbors. Violation of an injunction under the Maine Civil Rights Act can be punished by up to a year in jail and a $2,000 fine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
A longtime state lawmaker from Orrington received a reprimand but no fine from the Maine Ethics Commission Wednesday over his committee's repeated failure to file campaign finance reports on time. Commissioners opted not to impose a fine on Republican Representative Dick Campbell for filing a report 46 days late, since his political action committee hasn't raised or spent any money. The case could also have been referred to the Attorney General's office because failing to file within 30 days is a misdemeanor crime. But Campbell's attorney, Josh Tardy, told commissioners that changes are underway to avoid future incidents.
Message delivered. The staff memo, very clear on what the PAC's obligations are. Can assure this commission that nothing has ever been intentional.
Campbell's Building the Maine House PAC has filed 9 late reports since 2019, and Ethics Commission staff say they have spent a, quote, inordinate amount of time and effort trying to get the PAC to file reports. The Harpswell Select Board has approved a so-called right-to-fish policy in light of noise and odor complaints from residents about the town's working waterfront. Selectman David Chipman says local fishermen pitched the idea to town officials. He says the policy is meant to better inform newcomers about what it means to live in a working waterfront community and that commercial fishing will be protected from nuisance complaints under state law.
What it does is it says that we basically stand on the side of the fishing community, that the smell is what it is. The lobster boats need to start up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They go out with sunrise, and this is not anything that you can object to as far as we're concerned.
Chipman acknowledged that the policy can't be enforced, and so he believes that the town should eventually implement a right-to-fish ordinance, which a majority of Harpswell voters would have to approve at next year's town meeting. The University of Maine is moving ahead with plans for a new aquaculture workforce and innovation center. The 14,000-square-foot facility will house large fish tanks and classroom spaces, serving as a hub for aquaculture research at the university system's flagship campus in Orono. In a statement, the university says the new facility will boost existing aquaculture research and workforce training programs. The Maine Aquaculture Association estimates that the industry will need more than 1,300 new workers over the next 15 years. UMaine received $7 million in federal funding and an additional $3.3 million in state funding to support the project. Construction is expected to begin this fall, and the facility could open next year or early 2026. 68 waterfront projects damaged in storms this past winter are slated to receive more than $21 million in state grants to rebuild. Linda Vanna is the manager of the New Harbor Co-op that serves 25 fishermen. She says the state has approved more than $500,000 to rebuild and strengthen docks.
We've already raised what we have here, foot and a half, I think, and it's all one level now. Before, we used to have a ramp that you went into the coolers with. So now it's completely all one level, and it has been secured down, so it's chained down on every beam that goes across.
Grants from the state's Working Waterfront Resilience Grant Program are funded with $60 million from the supplemental budget approved in May. Officials in Lewiston have approved plans for a new permanent home for the Maine Museum of Innovation, Learning, and Labor. The $13 million project calls for the renovation of the Camden Yarns Mill, plus an 8,000-square-foot addition.
So it was a former cotton mill, so is an important part of telling the broader textile history in Lewiston and broadly in Maine. And so that will be prominently featured.
Executive Director Rachel Ferrante says the new museum will have a permanent and temporary gallery spaces and classrooms for community events. The project has been in the works for nearly 15 years, and Ferrante says the new location should open sometime in early 2026. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us for Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.